We are continuing in our series in learning to work the field training, and it's been a great year. It's crazy to think that December is just a couple weeks away, and the end of 2024 is coming, and I've been thankful for how God's worked in our church and through our people and developed and instilled in us a desire to reach the lost. But we'll say more about that in a moment. Does everyone need a lesson this morning? Brother Steve is ready. He has a lesson. Anyone else need one this morning? Anyone need a pen this morning? All right, good. And so it's been a blessing, and we are in lesson 14 of that, and the plan is that lesson 15 will be the last lesson in our series. And just to kind of give you a little bit of a landmarks to know where we're headed, this lesson where we'll try to get done, it's long in the sense, but it's actually, I think we'll go through pretty quick. We're going to give some tips and maybe finish this one today, potentially. Maybe next week, finish it up. We'll see. And then the week after that is revival. So Brother McCracken will be here, be in prayer about that. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be an amazing time. And then we'll finish up with this the following week after that. I have a couple things in mind about what to do after we're done with the field training. I'm considering doing our church history lessons again. Again, many of you in here have been through that class, but none of you in here remember everything. I wrote it, and I don't remember about half of it. And so it's good. It's good to remind ourselves why we're Baptists and what churches, how churches came to be throughout history. So anyway, I think that's where we're going to be heading. But it might have something to do also with next year's theme. Lord knows all that. Be in prayer if you would about that, just for wisdom, discernment. But as we're doing this field training, here's the plan. We're going to give you some tips today. We've talked about relationships. We've talked about building gospel relationships. And I hope all of you have five names. I hope everyone in here has five names. And I hope you're familiar enough with those five names that you can rattle them off right now, because you've been praying for them every day, right? Right. Yeah. So if that's not right, I'll ask it again next week, and next week it'll be right. Right? Right. You need five names, five people that you are always actively trying to develop a gospel relationship. That means that you want to develop a relationship, a close personal relationship with them, and then for the purpose of getting the gospel to them. We're going to talk about that here a little bit in Luke chapter 10. And we're going to give you some tips today on how to develop those, all right? We've talked about how to communicate. That's the foundation of any relationship. That was what we dealt with last couple weeks. And now we're just going to give you some tips on how to practically establish some relationships, how to develop and deepen those relationships. And they need to be genuine, right? They need to be genuine. These aren't tactics. These aren't manipulation things. These are just a practical help on how to do what you genuinely want to do, which is reach the lost. Amen, and walk toward them. Lesson 15 is going to be how you transition from a relationship with somebody into actually getting them the gospel, right? The more and more I study this, the more I believe that God's plan is not for us to cold turkey, find someone, and throw the gospel at their face. Now, it's good to give them a track. It's good to get them the gospel at all times, but the most effective, I believe, and most biblical way to do that is to live the gospel in front of them and to develop a gospel relationship and then to reach them personally. I just believe that. And so we have to take the time and the work it takes to develop relationships with them, but we can't let it just be that, because those five people hopefully will be friends, and we like friends, right? We enjoy having friends. We're those people. We're relational. God made us that way. And so there's a danger that we will have these close friends and close friendships and then be nervous to actually give them the gospel, because sometimes that breaks friendships, okay? But in the end, you need to know that's the whole reason for the friendship. That's the main reason, is so that you can get them the gospel. Because if you truly love them and if you're truly a friend, you'll give them what they need, and what they need more than anything else is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's a hard transition, to go from a deep personal relationship with somebody and then bring up the gospel and bring up God. And so next week, we're going to give you some help with that, okay? But you're going to have that desire. So think about that, pray about that over this next few weeks. And then if you have the desire, then the help will be a help. Does that make sense? When Solomon gave the book of Proverbs to his son, before he gave any of the Proverbs, he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Isn't that what he said? And he said, "I'm going to give you some tips here, in a sense, right? Some life tips, real life tips." Okay, that's kind of what the Proverbs are about. I'm going to give you some wisdom, but none of this advice I'm going to give you, son, is going to matter if you don't fear the Lord, right? And if it's not important to you that you live a life of wisdom and live a life that glorifies God. And the same is true here. None of this matters if you don't have a desire to actually work the field. And so be in prayer about that. And you get to decide your desires. And you get to choose that. And so work on that if you would. But with all that said, let's go ahead and take our Bibles, Luke chapter 10. And we'll stand as we read our passage this morning, Luke chapter 10. Again, the context here is Jesus sending the 70 into strange cities that most likely they've never been to. They're going to meet new people, and they're going to meet new people for the express purpose of introducing them to Christ. And that is exactly what we're calling to do right now, isn't it? To go reach new people that we don't know, and then for the express purpose of one day introducing them to Christ. And the process is given right here in verse 5. Look at verse 5. And he says to them, "And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again." So here's what he's saying. Go to this random house. And he's not telling them, knock, 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 hello, here's the gospel. If you die today, what's going to happen? He didn't say any of that, does he? He says, say, peace to this house. And basically, here's the idea. If they receive you, that's what he's saying. If they receive you, continue on and build a relationship with them. If they don't, then move on. Verse 7. "And in the same house, remain." Stay there. "Eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house." This is not a door knocking campaign necessarily. This is a go to someone's house, get to know them on a personal level. Eat with them, drink with them, get to know them, develop a relationship with them. Again, verse 8, "And whatsoever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you." So as they receive you and you build a relationship, here's what you do now, verse 9. "And heal the sick that are therein and say unto them, the kingdom of God is coming tonight into this house." So giving the gospel, the kingdom of God comes after you have entered their house, after you have built a relationship with them, after you have proved to them the word of God is real, and then you give the gospel. Amen? That's the plan given right here in Luke 10, and that's the plan we're going to talk about tonight, or this morning. So let's pray, we'll get into it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. And God, thank you for entering into our lives and making yourself known to us. And for loving us, and for caring for us, and for having an intense desire for our souls to be saved. And I pray that you help us to, as we're going to be Christ-like and godly and spiritual, Lord, help us to develop that same burden and that same passion to reach the lost. Lord, we love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. All right. First line hits home, right? Life is busy. Everyone agree with that? We're really good at just making things busy, even though it shouldn't be sometimes. We're just good at it. We make life busy. Our lives often resemble a busy, congested highway. That's the blank there. A busy, congested highway. So this is a metaphor thing, okay? So kind of follow me. So people pass us by at lightning speed while we tightly grip the steering wheel of life, trying to make sure we don't crash into anyone on our way to our intended destination. And again, I say, life is busy. But Jesus has called us to do this, to enter. That's the blank. He has called us to enter into their lives and share with them the gospel of the kingdom of God. as we journey to heaven, our final destination. You think about, I don't know how about you, but when I'm on the road, I'm always in a hurry. It doesn't matter how early I left. It doesn't matter how much time I got to get there. I'm in a hurry. And I just want to get there, right? And I'm focused. And I'm evaluating the road and seeing who the slow person is so I don't have to get stuck behind them and doing all this stuff and trying to get there, right? And sometimes we live our life that way. And we're always in a hurry. And we're always going somewhere. We always have a plan. We're always heading somewhere. Even though there's no reason to be in a hurry necessarily, we are. We're at the store. We have our list. Let's get it and get out. Even though when we get home, there's hours to spend doing nothing. But we just are like that. So we need to learn to calm down, all right? And notice that as we're living our life, there are people around us. And people are not in the way. People are eternal souls. Like getting that bag of Cheetos is not as important as the soul that's next to you, right? Even though Cheetos are delicious, okay? So we need to recognize the people around us. And so the question is, how do we do that? How do we do that gracefully? How do we enter people's lives? We could say it like this: how do we enter into the lane without feeling like we're crashing into people as they fly through life? And we do this by merging into the lane of their life via some reliable on-ramps. That's the point, on-ramps. On-ramps. I want to be full disclosure here. A lot of this, I'm leaning heavily on a man who wrote this book called Giving the Exchange. It's a great book about reaching people, and a lot of this is from him. The tips are mainly from him. I didn't want to reinvent the wheel. He nailed it here. But we need to enter their lane, and we do that with on-ramps. So each of us need to build relationships or on-ramps into the lives of others. Because listen, in the business of life, we need to make, because we're headed somewhere, and so is that person, right? So we don't want to intrude. We don't want to blast into their lane. What we need to do is get to know them so that we're part of their lane. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes their destination could be to come hang out with you and talk with you. You know what I'm saying? And so that's how it needs to be. We need some on-ramps. That's what Jesus did. That's exactly what he did. Jesus lived his life in such a way that he would, quote unquote, run into people, right? Like the woman at the well, like Zacchaeus, like the woman caught in adultery. These people he just ran into on his path. Now, you'll notice he on purpose chose that path. He must needs go to Samaria, right? But this lady, she wasn't looking for him. She was looking for water. But he just happened to bump into her and find her where she's at. And not go in there and blow her day up, but as she's getting water, kind of jump into that scene, right? And enter her life. And Zacchaeus and woman of adultery and many others. So here's the blanks. Jesus didn't have to. He didn't have to take time for any of these people. He had plenty to do, right? He had 12 disciples who were all boneheads that he needed to help big time, right? He had people that needed to be healed and all of that. He had a lot to do. He didn't have to take time for them, but he intentionally entered their lane and gave them the gospel. And he called us to do the same. And so then the big question is, you might be asking yourself, is how do I go about that? Okay, I want to do that, but how do I do that? And that's what this lesson's all about. We're designed for, and we're going to give you tips on how to do that, how to develop gospel relationships. Number one is this: invite unbelievers into your life. Invite unbelievers into your life. And we're going to go through this pretty quickly. Number one is this, letter A, I guess. Make time. Make time for people who don't know Jesus. You know, in your business of life, just make it another one of your goals is to invite unbelievers into your life, right? As you're going through the grocery store, okay, you have your list, but you also have this goal in mind. If someone shows up, that's a potential person that I can talk to. And now all of a sudden they're not in the way, they're the whole purpose, you see. When you're at the gas station pumping and you just want to You don't want to talk to anybody for some reason. That's how we are. And you see someone on the other side of the pump, say something to them, you know. But if you do that, you might get caught there for a while. That's okay. That's not a problem. That's part of your plan today, right? To reach people. Make time for them. You know, many unbelievers have very few close friends. They often have acquaintances at work or at their children's school, but genuine friendships are hard to come by. It's because most people don't want to take the time to build relationships. And if you show interest in someone and you love somebody and you care about somebody and you are willing to spend time with them, they often will respond well and they'll receive you sometimes. Not always, Jesus said, right? Not all of them will receive you into their house, but some will. Letter B, invite unbelievers into your home for a meal. For a meal. If this makes you uncomfortable, maybe find a more neutral place to meet, like a coffee shop, amen? Those coffee shops. Any more of those in Fall City? Or a local restaurant. Take them out. Okay, maybe you don't want to bring them to your home, but maybe you can invite them out to lunch somewhere. Something special about a meal with humans. We love it. We love eating and we love talking while we eat. It's kind of weird. It's hard to do both at the same time, you know? But you know what I mean. If you're getting to know a family with young children, choose a restaurant with a kids' play area. Think about this person and think about how this experience can be the most beneficial and blessing and comfortable for this person, your friend. Your friend you don't know yet. You're almost friend. How's that? Your potential friend. If you're busy, you can just simplify and you don't have to do a whole meal. Maybe just roast marshmallows in your backyard or at a local park and have some friends over for hot chocolate. That didn't take a long time. It's November. This is marshmallow roasting time. All right. S'mores. Yes. I think s'mores are going to be part of this lesson at some point, but that's very important. S'mores, spiritual. But what I'm telling you is invite people into your life. Number two, use the natural rhythm. That's the blank. Use the natural rhythm of everyday life, to meet and form relationships with unbelievers. So letter A is your neighbors. These are just some things to get you thinking. All right, we'll say this later, but you don't have to do all of these things. You don't necessarily have to do necessarily any of these things, but this is trying to help you get some practical ideas for your own life and for your own health. Reach people. So neighbors, build your neighbors into relational evangelism radar. Right. So talk to your neighbors. Talk to them. It seems so simple, but because we often just push a garage door remote, drive into our garage, close the door behind us, we can go weeks without connecting with our neighbors. Not necessarily anything wrong or evil about that, but it does hinder our ability to reach them. I'll tell you this, knowing them and them knowing you makes a big difference in you reaching them one day. And so if your neighbors are outside, don't just walk into your house like this. Talk to them. Say something to them. Just a brief conversation. You don't have to go have, you know, a philosophy conversation with them or a theological conversation. Just say, hi, neighbor, you know. Everyone practice. Say, hi, neighbor. Ready? Hi, neighbor. That's a lot. I recognize you exist, neighbor. That's good. And then eventually, hey, what are you doing? Right? If they're getting in their car, where are you headed? All right? And don't take this too far, all right? But talk with them. Acknowledge their existence. Here's one. Invite your neighbor to walk or run with you. You say, I don't walk or run. Start walking or running. And then ask your neighbor to do that with you. Find a local restaurant with a kids eat free night. Amen? Those are the best. And invite your unsaved neighbors to join you for dinner. Invite your neighbors to share dinner in your home. Do a barbecue outside. Meet at a park. Invest in your neighbors. Hey, this takes time. It's worth the investment. Letter B, coworkers. Get to know your coworkers. Don't just work with your coworkers. Get to know them. That starts with this. Maintain a godly Christian testimony at work. Do me a favor. Do God a favor. Don't get to know your coworkers until you start living for God. Be a good testimony at work first, and then get to know them, so that they don't get to know the guy who is cutting corners and being unethical, being a bad employee, saying things they ought not. You see? So be a good testimony, and then get to know people. Though you rarely can witness on your boss's time, you got to be careful with that. You can invite your coworkers to lunch or to dinner in your home. I will encourage you, when you're at work, you're working for your boss. So there's nothing more important in life than spreading the gospel, but your time is not yours. Your boss isn't necessarily paying you to do that. Now, if you can do that and still be as productive and be the best employee you can be, then do that, of course. Hand out tracts, talk to people. If you deal with customers, things like that, and there's nothing wrong necessarily with it. I'm just saying, be very careful that you don't use, don't use the gospel as an excuse not to work hard. That's a bad testimony to your boss, isn't it? And so work, serve your boss as unto the Lord, all right? But you do have break time, you do have lunch time, you do have dinner after work. And there are times just in the midst of work that you can bring up the gospel. You know, they're going to talk about the sports and weather and talk about some ungodly song or movie. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to talk about the Lord. You can do that. But get to know your coworkers. And then obviously try to invite them to a social setting outside of the workplace. Because a social setting could be a launching point that you get to know them better, to discover your coworkers' needs. Because as you get to know them, you'll find out they're broken, and you'll find out they need the Lord, which they already do. But you'll find out specifically what they're struggling with, and you can help them meet their needs through a relationship with God. You see, get to know them. Letter C, employees where you routinely do business. Okay, so reach out to the people you naturally encounter through the day. A grocery store cashier, see those. Bank teller, dry cleaner, a server in a restaurant, a dentist, a doctor, a hairdresser, store greeter. The places you go typically have people working there. And take advantage of that. Get to know these people. When you go to the grocery store, try to do it at the same time where the same guy is on clock and use his lane. Even if it's a long lane, yeah. Show up. Don't be weird. Just use this lane. And then the next time, use this lane. And about the fifth time, maybe it'll be like, hey, how are you doing today? You know what I'm saying? And you can enter their life that way. Enter their life that way. You can request a particular server at a restaurant. You know, hey, is that guy, whoever's name is that server here? He was great. You know, and that they would, and you know, a restaurant would probably be inclined to give you the server you like so that you enjoy your time. You know what I'm saying? What I'm telling you is use this to your advantage. And not your advantage, but to the gospel's advantage. Engage these people in conversation in an effort to get to know them. Let your restaurant server know that you're going to pray for your meal. This is a good one I never thought of. I'm going to pray for my meal. Is there something I can pray with you about? Sometimes we pray like, all right, server, leave so I can pray before you come back. Sometimes we don't even think about praying for our meal. But sometimes us who pray for our meals every time, we're like, I don't want to be a hindrance. I don't want to. No, how about you invite them into that? You say, hey, I'm about to pray. You know, is there anything we can pray for you about? That means something, don't you think? Yeah, that's good. If you see the server again, make a point to ask about that. Hey, you told me about your mom who's struggling with this. How's she doing? Next time you go. Not a lot of people care about their servers. You'll stick out. Over time, these little conversations can deepen and open opportunities to develop a deeper relationship. And I hope what you're seeing here is an underlying desire to know people and love people and care about people. This isn't something we manufacture. We love people. We see that server. We see that they are a lost soul, go into hell forever. We love them, we care for them, and so we want to get to know them, and so that we can help them get to know God. Okay? Letter D, community opportunities. Community opportunities. try to attend things like the parades or events in town. The Christmas parade's coming up, not this Friday, but next Friday in 2 weeks. As many of our people that can be in the float, that's awesome. But then if you're not going to be on the float, go be there. You're like, I don't like parades. Who cares if you like parades? There are people there that you can bump shoulders with, you know? And you do like meeting lost people, right? You like that. That's something you like. No, it's not. Now it is, right? You like meeting new people who don't know the Lord so that you can get to know them. You like that, right? You're a social butterfly, right? Yes. I'm going to try that again. You like meeting new people, right? I didn't ask if you're good at it. I said you like it. You want to do that, right? You want to meet new people, right? Okay, that's what I thought. I just couldn't hear you. I'm old in my hearing aid. We need to, if you don't like it. What? Are you built? Are you some kind of animal where you have only instincts? You don't get to choose what you like? Yes, you do. Like it. And if you don't like it, find out why. Are you? I'm gonna get some toes stuck on. Are you proud? Where you don't want them to think of you a certain way? Get over it. It's not about you. It's about reaching the lost. Who cares if you make a fool of yourself? You are a fool. So am I. We're all weird. That's okay. Just accept it. You're weird. Okay? I'll tell you. You're weird. Done. All right? I don't want to be weird. Too late. There's a whole host of reasons. Are you not good at talking to people? I understand that. Go get last week's lesson and learn how to talk with people. Think about it. And the best way to learn how to talk to people is by doing this, talking with people. Practice makes progress, always. So if you're not good at it, get good at it. It's easy. This is easy, right? No, but it is hard. It is hard, but we have to decide. We have to decide, God wants me to do this. God wants you to do this. And if he wants you to do it, he'll help you do it, right? He'll help you do it. But you're going to have to. You're going to have to put effort into this and trust God's grace to help you do it. But we need to reach people, and we can't reach people if we don't ever talk to them, right? Yeah. All right. Page 3. Use your interests and experiences to connect with others who share these common interests. So, I like this. A quilter? Join a quilting club. Is that a thing? Is a quilting club a thing? If you're a quilter and you can't find a quilting club, then start one. Okay? Because there's other quilters. If you love to work out, weird, but if you do, join a gym. Maybe connect with a personal trainer. You know, that's someone that you'll talk to quite a bit. He's going to yell at you. And you can yell, yeah, that's right, yeah. Brother Barrett, the taekwondo instructor, he's doing it, right? He's making those connections like that. If you love to run, again, I don't understand you, join a club. There's a fitness center with those treadmill thingies, right? There's a track in town. Go run and make sure there's people there. Participate in community races. There's a turkey trot coming up in town. I think Community Medical Center does it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to turkey walk. All right? I'm a turkey and I'll walk. And so that'll be fun. There'll be people there. All right? Yeah. If you have children, go to the park or the library specifically to meet other parents with kids. You go to the park with your kids. There's a good shot there's other parents who go to the park with their kids. And you're like, I love it when there's no one at the park. No, you should stop loving that. I hate it. No one's here because I don't get to talk to another parent who's in the same place I'm at, who has little kids like I do, or has, you know, bigger, rambunctious, destructive kids like I do. You know, whatever, you can connect with them. Let's see. All right. Letter E. Here's one that you maybe didn't think of. Church. Church is a place where you can meet lost people. What do you mean? Well, not everyone who attends church has a personal relationship with Jesus. Should have guests here, you know, here and there. And so go out of your way to get to know your guests. If you see a new person, make that a big deal. Help them find the nursery, the bathrooms. Invite them to sit with you. Invite them to eat after church. If you like to eat at home, cook extra so that you can invite church guests to join you. You know, crockpots are a beautiful thing. You can just stuff those things with all kinds of, you know. And in the morning, you know, just double it by faith, because you're going to need double. Because you're going to invite some random first-time guest that you don't even know yet to come eat with you. Right? You see that? Come to church early and stay late. This right here is not the context to fellowship with our guests. Don't have conversations with anybody right now, right? What's the time that we get to fellowship and talk with people? Before church and after church. And so come early, plan to stay late. Fellowship. Not just with our church family, but also with the lost. Get to know them. Don't let great fellowship you enjoy with believers keep you from spending time with guests. Do both, but don't avoid the guests. Don't just get in your clique and ignore everybody. Prioritize your fellowship. Here's what that means. Guests usually leave quick. Church is over. And so before you talk to your friends after church, you guys are going to be staying for a good 15, 20 minutes, right? So before you talk to them, they'll be here. First, go talk to a guest. And then go talk to your friends. Because you and your friends will both be here, right? I know a lot about you. It's good. Number 9. During the fellowship time between services, we're going to be dismissed here, have coffee and treats and all that stuff downstairs. Recognize that if there's a guest, that's a very awkward time because they don't have anyone to talk to. They're just standing there awkwardly. And so go out of your way to genuinely greet them, not just say, hey, and get to know them, talk with them. You know, that time is a lot less awkward if they're in a conversation with somebody. Number 2 there, an unsaved guest who visits your church is telling you a lot just by coming. Just that they're here is a lot. They're interested enough in a relationship with God to take that first step. And he's opening to visit church because even though many things are unfamiliar, you know, a guest who comes for the first time oftentimes has never sat in a sermon, has never, you know, dressed like we dress sometimes. They're not used to Christian music. They're not used to this atmosphere. And for them to jump into this is uncomfortable for them, and we should recognize that, and we should be thankful about that and try to help them with that. Number 3. Here's some questions that you can help you discover if your guest has a need, okay? You can ask them this. How did you hear about our church? Hey, what brought you here? You know, that kind of thing. Avoid one-answer questions, you know? Try to ask questions where they have to talk some more than that, okay? What brought you here? What did you think about the service? Do you have any questions about what you heard and saw at church today? What's your religious background? You know, where did you go to church? Or did you? How can I pray for you is a good one. And here's a big question that we're going to deal with. How would you describe your relationship with God? That question gets them talking about the gospel. We'll deal with that question a lot next time. All right. So church. Lost people at church. Letter F. Network with new believers. This is an important one. What does that mean? Well, most of new believers' friends are unsaved. Because the moment they get saved, they had lost friends, right? And the longer we're saved, it's just natural. Our friend circle changes. We're not trying to get rid of our lost friends, but as you live for God, a lot of the stuff you used to do, you're not doing anymore. And the friends that do that don't want to hang out with you anymore. It's just natural. Part of it is healthy. And then so you're hanging out with people who want to glorify God. You know, this isn't anywhere near our notes or purpose today, but if you're more comfortable hanging out with lost people than you are with saved people, that's a red flag. It's a problem. You should be more comfortable with hanging out with church people. Why? Because if your purpose in life, your passion is to know God and serve Him, then you'll hang out with people whose passion is to love God and serve Him, right? That's how friendships kind of work. There's connections there. And your most fundamental purpose and passion and interest is supposed to be worshiping God, And that's something you don't have in common with the lost. You just don't. Right? Right. So anyway, a new believer, though, has all those friends in that past life. And think about when Jesus called Matthew to follow him. Remember that? The publican? Matthew was a tax collector. What did Jesus do almost immediately? He went to Matthew's house and hung out with the other publicans. Good. That's good. Get to know his friends, and that can pave a way to guide that new believer through a Bible study with one of his unsaved friends. They know the gospel, and they can maybe get the gospel to their friends that way. All right, number three, obstacles. I think we'll be able to finish. Obstacles. There's some things that keep us from doing this. Oh, man, I don't know if we'll have time. I want to give us time to fellowship between. And so next week, I think we'll do that. We'll deal with the obstacles. There's things. We're seeing a lot of the good reasons for this. We're seeing a lot of tips. But there's a lot of things in our life that prevent us from doing this. And so next time, we'll deal with those. And then that'll be good anyway, because in the next Sunday, we'll do revival. And for the next 2 weeks after revival, here's what we'll do. We'll teach you how to get people the gospel. Because there's something healthy about this. You getting to know your friends and family and stuff, and then you inviting them to church, or you trying to get them connected with the pastor or somebody else so you can get them the gospel. There's nothing wrong with that. But really, the goal should be that you give them the gospel. We all should be be in a place where we can give people the gospel. That's intimidating and that's difficult, but we're doing our best to help you with that. And like I told you, those Bible studies we're working on, and I have them almost done. And the goal will be by the Sunday school after revival, that I'll have lesson one and I'll give them to you. And you can take them and you can find one of those five, right? You have five, right? Okay. And so whatever of those five, pray about who you can start a Bible study with and help them understand the gospel. And we'll start letting the rubber hit the road then, okay? But for now, we'll pray and we'll let you go. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us again. And thank you that you've chosen this path, Lord, that we get to be a part of reaching the lost. It's humbling, it's overwhelming that you would do that and trust us that way. Help us, God, to follow you. Help us to develop a burden for the lost. Help us, God, to surrender, Lord, and humble ourselves, and be willing, Lord, to face rejection, be willing to be embarrassed even, be willing even to be hurt. God, that happens as we love people and reach people. But God, you were willing to suffer for us. You were willing to be humiliated. You were willing to be embarrassed and hung on a cross before men and for our sake. And so help us, God, to be willing to do that for the sake of the lost and give of ourselves sacrificially so that others will have a chance to know you. Please help us with that. Help us to enter the lives of unbelievers in our life and bring you to them. We love you. Pray that you bless the service to come and our time of fellowship. Christ, and I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.